Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your Good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hi, I'm Lydia, voice of Sasha Rackett and Cell Sidebottom in Rusty Quill Gaming. Rusty Quill Gaming is a long-running actual play podcast featuring a group of performers, actors, gamers, and improvisers. Today's episode is brought to you by the all-new PlayStation Plus. The new PlayStation Plus brings together the benefits of PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now into a new service that provides more choice and value to customers. PlayStation Plus is providing a curated and diverse game portfolio with hundreds of high-quality titles to choose from. Go to www.playstation.com/PS-Plus to learn more about the all-new PlayStation Plus.
Spandex makes me horny. Shut up, Dad. Shut up. Get it, bitch. Bitch, just kidding. No, for real. I'm serious. This is Jess. Just kidding. You don't know who I am? Get the fuck out. Get it, bitch. Get it, bitch. Drag is the new spandex.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Recap. Pat DeBear here, and I am excited to dive into the 9th episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 7, All Winners. We are inching ever so close to finding out who will win and take the title of Queen of All Queens. I am being joined today by another one of my new Chicago buddies who I have actually, I think, mentioned on a couple of other podcast episodes, because when we are in the same room together, we will start to quote lines from the Snatch Game at each other at the bar. And it's one of my favorite things to do now. There are a couple of like little, I guess you'd call them little inside joke things that I have with a couple of people up here, and the, is that my camera? And is there time for one more? Are some of my favorite things to do now. So, dear listeners, I would like to introduce TC to the podcast. What's up, TC?
Hello, hello, hello. I figured that's really the only way that one could greet anybody on a podcast about RuPaul's Drag Race recapping.
Oh, damn. If I only had the squeaky door opening noise, it would have been perfect. Oh, I love it. So how's your day going? It's a hot, yet I guess it was kind of rainy day in Chicago earlier.
Yeah, it's been gross, but that day overall is totally fine. Excited to kind of talk shop about something that is just really enjoyable this season and is very refreshing in terms of any other season that they've done before. So looking to hear your thoughts and also share mine, I guess.
I know, I'm excited. There was a point where we were doing this more often. We were doing recap episodes weekly. Back in the day, like All Stars 2, we did it for a couple of different seasons. But Oral, who you met, actually got to meet Oral from our podcast.
At first, I was like, "What are we talking about now?" I'm kidding.
Oral was in town here in Chicago on a layover on Friday, so I got to see him, and I brought him out to the SoFo Tap. So you can see one of my places of employment. The other is my office where I'm recording this. And the reason I say I guess it was raining is because I actually have my work computer facing the wall. So I don't actually look out the window because my personal stuff is facing the windows in my office, because I feel like that is more of a time when I should be able to see the outside world is when I'm doing things that are enjoyable to me.
It's a nice separation of church and state, honestly.
Exactly. But when Oral was getting really busy in his life, we kind of took a step back. And a lot of the seasons just really haven't, I personally haven't felt the need to do recap episodes for every episode. We'll convene maybe at the midway point, and then for the finale, and we'll do kind of like two half season recaps. And I think that's all that was really needed for most of the seasons lately.
Yeah.
But when this season started, the first two episodes came out, and I was so enamored by the cast of Queens, the challenges, the whole thing, that I immediately was like, nope, we've got to do this. This is going to be something that's going to be a weekly podcast again. And I just decided to put a whole bunch of extra work onto my plate for this. So I'm happy, though, because it has been such a pleasure not just to watch this season, but then to bring other people on who have never been on the show before.
Sure.
Who are bringing a fresh opinion and take on the queens, the seasons, the looks. It's not the same, you know, a couple of us from the show just talking about the same thing over and over again. So yeah, it's been a one of the best things that I've done in the last 9 weeks has been doing these recaps, or 8 weeks, I should say, because it was a double episode. This last 2 months, like doing these recaps has been great. So I am so excited to have you on, and I know there are a couple of things that we've chatted about over the course of the last 2 months, but I'm excited to hear the overall take and for you to share that with our listeners.
Sure.
Before we jump into actually talking about the season, after Snatch Game, I was like, I want a t-shirt that says, "Is that my camera?" But I never really like sought out like Jinx's website or looked for anything. And I think when I looked originally, there was nothing there. And then I was scrolling through, maybe Instagram, and I saw somebody wearing an "Is That My Camera" shirt. And I was like, oh my God, there's merch with it. And I went to Jinx's website. Only smalls, mediums, and larges are available. Everything else is sold out. And I was like, how much weight can I lose in one day?
That's also very relatable to Jinx gluing moment with her last runway creation that Trinity did not make for her, where she's like, how much weight can I lose in one episode? She's like trying to, I was like, that would not fit my thigh.
Yeah.
But
I was like, nope.
Yeah, I'm glad that she is definitely banking on just how awesome she is, but just how I hate to use the word iconic. I think it's thrown around too much, but it really is just such a memorable moment and a huge standout for the entire franchise overall, whether you're thinking the international season's All-Stars or just the regular, you know, US one. Make your money, like absolutely make your money. And honestly, let me give you some, like I want a t-shirt also. So hopefully after this, I'm going to look that up and see if they've refreshed their larger sizes. Cause I need a bigger size.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm snatched,
and I need a bigger size than you. So trust.
Yeah. I'm not that snatched.
I mean, yes. What I need you to do, we need to make this promise to each other now, is that if we go on and we see that they've replenished sizes that include X's,
yep,
for me, multiple, we will let each other know we can purchase these shirts. I would love a little decal, because it's a cute little, like, it's adorable.
Yeah.
And I would even take it as like a sticker, like Jinx, if you're listening, because I know that she listens.
That's so
put
cool.
Put that on some decals. Jinx doesn't listen to this. But anyway, so let's dive into All-Star Season 7, the All Winners Edition. how are you liking the season so far? Everything from season, from episode 1 to episode 8. What are your thoughts, highlights, lowlights, things that are just tickling your fancy from the first 8 episodes?
Oh, that's a big question. When they announced that it was, you know, all winners season, I thought it was a very cool idea. I was like, oh, finally, like, people have talked about this for ages and ages. I think the queens that welcomed the invitation are all actually amazing. They just bring something so unique to the table that's all their own. The most refreshing thing I'd say about this season is how much love and positivity there is, which is a different filter than we've seen in the past. Like, Rue's not yelling, I don't want to see any fucking H&M on the runway, or, you know, anything like that, which has its place. But with this season, it almost feels like a love letter to the franchise of as like a standalone, where, you know, the queens aren't going home. They're able to try new things. They're really able to, like, explore. And they're also just having so much fun, and seeing them just like, okay, like, guys, we're, you know, y'all, we're going to be secluded from the world for, you know, 3 months of filming, or, you know, however long production might take for them. We're not going to see our friends and family, but we got our own little group of family here. And seeing the relationships that they're building, and just being able to find joy in what they love to do, and being able to do it with people that they love instead of all the cattiness that could come out of a type of reality competition show that a lot of producers will feed, or even, you know, stir the pot on. That is definitely, for me, the biggest enjoyment for myself, and, like, biggest thought on this season.
I love it. I love it. And I absolutely agree with you. I was just thinking, as you were talking about that, about the being secluded and sequestered away from the world, because we're talking 12 episodes. It's about 24 days of filming. So they're gone for about a month, a little over a month, probably. What I would almost love to see, because these are queens that know each other, for the most part, know each other so well, the kind of outliers a little bit would be an Evie, a Jada,
and Vivian.
Viv to a little bit, yeah, to a lesser extent. Because, I mean, Viv has been very big in the UK drag scene. She was the UK drag ambassador before Drag Race was a thing over there.
Yep.
So she's worked with a lot of the girls, but to a different extent, and had a different relationship with them. So aside from them, all of the other queens have been around and in the franchise and touring for a lot longer. So you get to see a little bit of a different connection with them versus a lot of the All-Stars cast even. So the main seasons, most of them don't know each other. And if you do, you have like 5 New York queens, but they still aren't all like, oh my God, we're the best friends, because you have somebody like Thorgy, who was portrayed as like, why the fuck is Bob still here and doing this shit? Even though they're friends.
Or the Ms. Cracker Aquaria, like, drama of she's stealing my looks. People always compare us to each other. I'm like, I there's a time and a place for the drama, but this season is, you're absolutely right. Like, seeing the dynamics they've made out actually working before coming back and committing to production for, you know, X amount of time.
Yeah, I would almost love to see it in a Big Brother style or Top Chef style, where they're all living in like a loft together.
Oh, sure.
Because they have such close like relationships. I would love to, like, that could have been it. Replace Untucked with like that, and I would have been in. It would have been so much better.
Streaming. I don't watch Big Brother or Top Chef really. But what I have seen, like, I'm familiar with, like, the structure of it all. It's just such a big commitment. But, like, thinking of a live stream of stuff, just what they would probably get into, like, seeing the Untucked with them impersonating other queens would be, like, I feel like that would be, like, a Tuesday afternoon for them. They, like, come back from production and, like, You'd have Jinx and Jada doing bumps of tajin or whatever. And I'm like, okay, yeah, absolutely. Like, I feel like that type of energy would just be in the house all the time. Or cut to Shay being like, these bitches are loud. I cannot concentrate. Which I could absolutely vibe with.
Yeah,
can be me a lot of the times, but I do think it would be interesting to see kind of like the behind the scenes them living in and dealing with each other rather than, you know, just sitting in a hotel room.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, maybe less of like the Big Brother like 24/7 watching them, but Top Chef. Has a like they're much smaller scenes of the loft that they live in,
yeah,
and some of the dynamics, or just some of those little bits, and you could have that untucked feel, exactly what you're talking about, like that being a Tuesday afternoon with them doing impersonations. Having it in such like a more relaxed environment, I think would be such an interesting take on it,
yeah.
And with this group of girls, or with these queens that have been around each other and known each other for so long, I think would be phenomenal. So, I mean. World of Wonder, if you're listening, please don't sue us, first of all. And second, I'm just saying, we could work on this. We could work on this. So one of the things that I mentioned, obviously, as I was introing you on this episode, is our love of Jinx's Snatch Game. Would you say that is your top moment of the season so far?
Oh, I mean, it's definitely the standout for sure. I mean, the most quotable, the thing I will quote more than I should, I'm sure. that is definitely a standout. And I mean, one of the best performances in my opinion ever on the show. But yeah, that is that. And honestly, the next one that comes to mind is Raja's Snatch Game. Like, I thought it was brilliant. I thought she was kind of robbed that episode also. So I don't know, but that one really also stands out. Her being the puppet, which was just delightful and so unique and creative. I thought it was great.
Yeah, her portrayal of Madam was amazing. And her Deanna Vreeland was so ridiculous and so much more elevated than the one other time that we've seen it on Snatch Game back in season 8. Like, that really, Robbie Turner's impersonation felt like someone who was just trying it out for the first time.
Yeah.
Where Raja's was like a study in being Deanna Vreeland.
Yeah. And so delightful.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think that Raja was a bit robbed out of a win in that episode. I think she should have won. But I feel like the plunger came into play and they wanted to showcase it being a tactical advantage. And taking away a star at that point. So
yeah, I do love the plunger aspect that Shay has created, this through line of knowing, like, I know something you don't know. It's so funny because it's, for me, something I would absolutely do, because, you know, you're taking something that is supposed to be this like big negative, like you're blocked. You can win, but you're not going to get a illusion set. And her just being like, no, I mean, once you're blocked, you learn something. And it growing, and everybody just, without discussing it, accepting and building on that to the point where Raj is like, block, like, I need to know, like, if I don't get blocked, I'm going to be pissed. And so I guess maybe spoilers, like, looking forward to the next episode, but the preview of her realizing it all and like calling them out, I just can't wait to see that actual moment, because I just find it hysterical. And every week she's always like, girl, you're gonna like, are we going to run with this? Or are you going to be the one to, like, burst everyone's bubble?
I can't believe that this is, like, the longest running storyline of the entire season is this secret of the plunger that has lasted, what, like, 7 episodes? Because Trinity was the first blocked, and then Shay was the second blocked.
So it would be from the second episode.
Yeah, so actually from like the third episode.
The third, I guess, I guess would be the third, technically, yeah.
So it'll take almost 7 episodes to finally just end the storyline of there really is no secret of the plunger. The secret of the plunger is that it's not platinum, it's gold.
It's gold. And I'm colorblind, and I'm like, that is not platinum.
Yeah. I don't get it. But hey, I love that's a running joke amongst. Yeah, it's the best running joke amongst every podcaster or recap episode is that it constantly is referred to as the platinum, but really gold plunger. Yeah,
like that's the secret of
Ray
the plunger.
Chaser does it. Yeah, Bob does it on Pit Stop. We do it here. Like every single thing that I listen to that is a recap always makes that same joke, and I live for it. And we only have 2 more episodes with it because then actually only 1 more because episode 10 there'll be a blocking, but there is no reason to block anybody in episode 11 because that's the end of the stars. So the plunger only has one more episode left. Oh, we're gonna have to buy our commemorative platinum but really gold plungers at DryCon 2023.
My bathroom's gonna get a total upgrade.
Oh my god, could you imagine? I want a little platinum plunger keychain.
I'm picturing now like walking into somebody's bathroom and they really do have a stoned plunger. I'm like, this is not sanitary.
Get me the E6000 and a couple gross of stones and let's go to town. Let's make our own. I'm down. It's my weekend project. So speaking of the secret of the plunger and the blockings that will be happening, let's dive into episode 9 of All-Star 7.
Yes.
This is the Dance Like a Drag Queen episode. So the queens enter the workroom. Jada has finally been blocked. And now if there was any queen that I would have expected to not go along with the secret of the plunger, not even intentionally, but just because she is a little ditzy.
Yeah.
I would have thought that Jada would have been the one to spill the beans.
Agreed. It would have been an accident, but yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree.
I was waiting for her to walk back in and be like, bitches, what the hell are y'all talking about with the secret? Nobody told me nothing.
That or it's like, when do you find out the secret? They didn't, like, production didn't pull me aside.
But she didn't. She kept it going and even got Raja going even more and saying that maybe they won't even block her, so that way she will never know what the secret is.
She'll be the one on the outside looking in. I loved it.
Which is the craziest thing, but at the same time, the funniest thing that I have heard, and I love it. So there's not a ton that happens. This is all, we all quickly move on to RuPaul entering the workroom. There wasn't even a video message this week. It was like they walked in and Ru walked out and they were like, hey girl.
Oh, hey.
They were like, the door didn't even squeak. We didn't even hear you come in. So Ru comes in and tells them about their maxi challenge for this week. So they are going to take part in a dance challenge, a viral social media dance challenge.
Yeah.
Because we can't use the words TikTok. But
we'll leave that out and post edit. Okay.
Right.
We can't use the word beep beep.
Yeah. So they are going to create viral dance trends for social media. However, this isn't necessarily, and I think Rue even says this as much as in the description, it's essentially a dance challenge, but it's a branding challenge. Correct. It's a comedy challenge. The real core of what they're doing is selling themselves and needing to do something that is going to be true to their brand.
Yep.
That's going to represent them. That's also funny. That's also entertaining. Which most of the queens have been doing this long enough. They know what their brand is. But I think in the overall, it's the queens that know their brand, but can expand it into ways that you would not imagine that is on brand for them.
Yeah.
Is really the challenge here.
Yeah.
So the girls are talking in the little circle and going through what is your brand. And most of it's pretty on point, pretty much things that we expect. You know, Evie talking about having no bones in her body.
I was just going to say, that's my favorite. They're like, what's your brand? She's like, I don't know, not having bones. I'm like, yeah. It's like, exactly.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. Trinity talking about tucking.
Yep.
You know, these are all things that we know. These are the things that we expect, and we want to see something elevated. They're legendary legends, so let's see what you can do with it.
Yeah.
So Rue comes in again, gets him like 5 minutes, and is like, all right, what'd you come up with so far? And does a couple of chit chats with the girls. Did anything stick out to you from the conversations that Rue had in the walkthroughs before going to film this challenge?
Oh, absolutely. There are several things from that. Is one, I mean, Rue says it himself all the time that he's a fucking marketing genius. And I cannot deny that. I mean, the man has franchises now all over the world. And I mean, we're just churning these out. It's like America's Next Top Model. we are churning, and people are still loving it, whether you're, you know, gay, straight, whatever. In this, I think even too, before they get to that, when he's announcing or introducing this idea of the Maxi Challenge, saying it's a masterclass on branding. And he really does show how simple it is. It's like Monet talking about, like, wait, is it really that? Like, it's this? It's a branding dance challenge? Is it that simple? And then it cut to Monet and Rue talking. And Monet's like, well, there's this idea, and this is where I'm going to go. And it gets a little, like, lengthy in terms of explaining and a little more ethereal. And Rue's like, your name is Monet Exchange. I want to see some, like, that just says money. Like, there needs to be this, there needs to be that, there could be a little of this. I'm like, man, she just structured your entire set. And Monet says it himself. He's like, hey, if there's anything I've learned, if Rue gives you an idea, you take that and run with it. And it's very successful, spoiler alert again, very successful for them. Another standout is just seeing the queens that really understood the assignment, in terms of just saying, hey, especially Shay, I think, you know, she's my hometown hero queen, always rooting for her. Just seeing her walk up and be like, yeah, you know, like I have a few brands out already, and how she's just able to literally insert herself and also her name into what she's creating, I think is...
And the portmanteaus are phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm like, this is great. A little nugget that, like, brought me joy also was when Shay and Rue are talking, and it's, like, towards the end of their conversation, and she's just like, I just have to say, you look so good. And he was like, it is like pulling teeth to get a compliment here. Let me just give you a legend star. I love it so much because I am not beneath flattery and charm to get me something that I need. And right now she needs, you know, she needs stars. And that was just so, so funny. And then Evie picks up on it afterwards too. So it was really interesting.
I would have killed if she actually gave her a star though.
Oh my God. This might be me, like, the whole season. Yeah. This might be me stepping ahead in terms of ideas, but I kind of hope, or I could see this becoming like a Mario Party situation. Like, what's the gag going to be, right? Like, everyone's like, right. I need to win. What if you're able to steal a star like you can in Mario Party, or you get stars for like
awards?
The person who won the most mini games, the person who had the most coins, the person who got screwed over the most or like blocked the most. Like, are we going to give like little party stars and like see where
it gets more stars?
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of something I keep in the back of my head that I'm like, we'll see what the gag is, but maybe it's like Mario Party.
Oh my God. And that's something that we've talked about on previous recap episodes. That I'm like, I'm just waiting for there to be like that Mario Party steal a star moment where it's just like, oh God, like the game changes. And I don't know if that's gonna happen, but I would be gagged and I would be living if that did happen, because it'd be phenomenal.
It'd be just so fun. But to your point, those were the standouts for them, and it was really fascinating just seeing Rue boil it down for them and be like, this is it, you know your brand, you got this, or be able to coach and then direct them in a good lane that worked for them, or they might have been a little confused or making it convoluted, and then really being successful at the end of it and having that sort of fostering motherly wave.
Yeah, absolutely. And a big shout out, since we're both in Chicago, to 321 Brewing or 321 Brewery, because when Shay was talking about the
312.
Sorry, 312.
Welcome to Chicago.
The Florida still pops in the 321 comes out. So the funny part is, when she was talking about that, she's like, I have the Shea Kool Ale, and I was like, oh my God, I had a Shea Kool Ale can like in my house for so long.
It is actually very good. Beer. And too, since moving to Illinois from Arizona, I've really loved Goose Island, and so 312 is always one of my go-tos, and I can't get it anytime like I really go back to Arizona, so I do enjoy it while I'm here. But yeah, definitely shout out to them.
Yeah, for sure. So we go from that into a montage.
A blooper reel. I love it. Basically a blooper reel. Love it.
Yes. And this, in a season where they are cutting around any like negative, impactable moments.
Yeah.
That there are like no negative critiques.
Correct.
That it has been like the biggest like highlight reel of amazing things that these queens are doing while filming. For us to get a couple of minutes of just straight up bloopers.
Yeah, I mean, it was delightful.
It was so good. And it was like, it was all fuck ups, but nothing that was like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Like, you're not hearing the bamboo chimes, like the...
Uh-huh. Yes, there is no rukakaka, there's no rattlesnake. Where is it? Hold on. Is my shade button? Did my shade button finally
and throw too much shade?
Apparently. Oh, my shade button. Apparently, it's not picking up on my mic. Oh well, I'll insert a shade rattle at some point. There,
we can all hear it in our heads.
Dry con.
It's insidious. Yes. We know it.
Ruh, ka 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 ka. My favorite is still Bob the Drag Queen doing it in the confessional during season 8.
He's like, insert it here.
Yes. So yeah, we get the blooper reel, which I thought was actually a really cute idea to almost... So we get a little something of the filming.
Yeah.
But it keeps it all very secretive until we see the final product.
Yes.
And it's weird because it so goes against what Drag Race normally does. Normally we get to see filming and pieces of it. And obviously there's more, and we get to see, you know, like kind of the crafted, edited product at the end. But we always get pieces of it. They're always like, here's some. Check this out. Yeah. Watch this. And we got nothing. We got all of the fuck-ups.
We were all rooting.
It was really cool.
For you. We were rooting for you. Oh, yeah. It is absolutely delightful to see just them being, like, figuring it out, working through it. And seeing them have fun, like Raja being like, A stands for I forgot. Like, I was like, yes, this is just kind of fun. Because even when Rue announced like what the challenge was, I was like, what is this? Like, where are we going to go with this? Is this going to be good? And then to be surprised by like, seeing everybody's, their reel essentially, was really fun. It was very fun, very well done, and yeah, it's really just been the like highlights of all of these queens.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's skip to the runway. So we're gonna do this a little bit differently, because normally we get the challenge, or we get, like, aside from the ball or the design challenges, whatever we're doing, we usually talk about that first. And then we go into the runway as kind of like that last piece of it. We kind of did this a little bit differently on this episode. So I'm going to do that with our recap as well. Let's talk about the runways. And then we'll do some highlights and lowlights from that. And then we'll do some highlights and lowlights from these viral dance challenges. Because I think there's some, you know, some highlights, and I think some lowlights, at least for me personally. There may not have been many negative critiques on the runway. Some things worked better than others, though.
But I mean, hey, we all have an opinion.
Exactly. So the runway category for this episode is What Lies Beneath. So this
also
is
a terrifying movie that I saw growing up as a sidebar.
Exactly. So the premise of this runway is reveals on reveals on reveals.
Yep.
With a minimum of 3 looks that are different standalone looks.
Yep.
That is what the concept is. Do we get all that? Maybe, maybe not, depending on the queen.
Yeah.
So let's talk the highlights. Who were your standouts for the What Lies Beneath runway?
Standouts, Jinx and Jada, hands down, are the two that absolutely come to mind first. What I found was, like, if you watch like a fashion photo review, I don't watch it all the time, but their little like thing, like trend alert, I found that the trend was like take off a jacket or like take off a cloak. Like, okay, like, we know it's a reveal challenge, right? Or a reveal runway, I should say. So there's your obstacle. But is it, we're just going to take off a big jacket and reveal something smaller under it? Or, like, how are we going to make this up? So the sort of the big trend was, I'm coming out in something really big, and now I'm going to take it off. Woo! I'm like, okay, like, I think I might sound a little pretentious saying that, but it is like, oh, can we like bring up the drama a little bit on some of these? I mean, Shay's looks absolutely 3 standalones. Was sort of that, like, I'm taking a big jacket off, but I mean, goddamn, like, talk about a stunning, like, trio of looks. The one thing I would think is that the second one being so sheer, you could see what was coming next. But still, I mean, damn, they looked so good. Eevee's, I'm not sure, were three standalone looks if we're just looking at the brief. I love the concept. I think she is so creative, and how her mind works, I think, is something to just be praised in general. But my two favorites were Jinx Monsoon's art, like walkthrough art history, was so good. And Jada's was, the reason I say hers over like a Monet, who really did kill it, because I love when people can use their platform to bring attention to issues that actually matter. My two standouts were Jada, because we've seen like one look go into another, but then you kind of see it. It's like it gets a little shorter. I think Ben said that in the episode too, as a judge. Like you kind of just see it getting shorter and shorter. But hers were a full length gown the entire time, and like, was it the most seamless transition into something else? No, but that wasn't the brief. It was like, and she gave you four different looks, and it had a theme. It was, whoever made that is an absolute genius. It was, not only did they all look good, but the way that they flowed right into the next one and laid so beautifully, and then she just looked stunning in the fall look at the end. I was like, damn. Like, damn, Jada, you really killed that one.
I agree. I didn't necessarily love every single look, but it was crafted very well.
Yeah, I hear you.
Four you know, floor length gowns. Her final look, and then that green. I think it was spring and fall. The green like zebra stripe where she took the piece and I made it a hat. And then the final look, the fall look that she ended up in. The fall look was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning. And I think one of the other pieces to that, to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying that was also brought up, bulk tends to happen with these looks, especially when they're pull downs, because you have all this material that is in one spot and then it gets transformed. A lot of these looks did not look bulky.
Yeah.
They did not look like, oh, okay, well, there's something hiding beneath this look that you're going to see. Absolutely, the point of the coat, the reveal coat, it there have been so many different things. Like, I mean, Brooklyn, I guess, kind of played into it. It was a meta tongue-in-cheek one at the season 11 of the final lip sync, where she wore a coat that literally just said reveal all over it.
Yeah.
And then I think on the back said, this is the reveal. Like, that's a tongue-in-cheek manner of it. But you look at the year before that, Aquaria essentially wore a Jiffy Pop bag. And you were like, oh, you know, that's not a look. That's not a first look that you would not walk around in that by itself as a standalone look.
Yeah.
It's also part of the reason why I am still a little mad that Alaska won the 2-in-1 episode when she did not hit the brief at all, because she essentially just came out in a trash bag.
Oh,
and we know that she wears trash bags, but it was like literally just a trash bag covering her.
Yeah.
And then she was like, and then dropped it, and that was the underside of the skirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I there are queens that do things like the reveals or the quick changes. If you've never, I don't know personally if you've ever seen this, but for you and any of our listeners, if you have not watched this, go to YouTube and look up Ivy Winter's My Strongest Suit, the song from the musical Aida.
Yeah.
She does this whole performance and does probably close to like 20 quick changes in that number, and it is amazing. So amazingly well done. I saw it back when I think Battle of the Seasons, I think when bots was still a thing in season 6. So it was like the year after her season aired, and it was phenomenal. So when it comes down to quick changes and reveals like that, there are queens that can nail it to a T. Go check out, if you, I think it should be on YouTube. Just look up Ivy Winters. Ivy Winters, my strongest suit, and go check that out. I loved Monet's, and I know you had mentioned this. I loved Monet's for a couple of reasons. One, the message. Yeah. Two, when she came out as representing Harriet Tubman.
Yeah,
we spent a moment in that character.
Correct.
So while it was a cloak and while it was kind of a covering, we still spent a moment with that character. Agreed. As she was doing the runway. And then it was the Black Panther look and then into the BLM outfit. And I think that each of them worked individually because it looked like a Harriet Tubman ensemble.
Absolutely.
Like, it gave a full look. It didn't just feel like, oh, I put a cloak over me and I'm holding a lantern. It felt like a full, complete outfit.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm gonna mention this one here because I don't really know where to mention it otherwise. I am not a Trinity fan. I will say this. She looked stunning.
Oh, that dress was beautiful. Beautiful.
Hi, I'm Lydia, voice of Sasha Rackett and Cell Sidebottom in Rusty Quill Gaming. Rusty Quill Gaming is a long-running actual play podcast featuring a group of performers, actors, gamers, and improvisers. Today's episode is brought to you by the all-new PlayStation Plus. The new PlayStation Plus brings together the benefits of PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now into a new service that provides more choice and value to customers. PlayStation Plus is providing a curated and diverse game portfolio with hundreds of high-quality titles to choose from. Go to www.playstation.com/PS-Plus to learn more about the all-new PlayStation Plus.
From Wondery comes a story about what happens when the murder of a local journalist reveals dark secrets.
There's going to be an attempt not just to kill Daphne, but also to bury her stories and her memory.
It's as big a smoking gun as you'll ever get.
The police didn't take action. They didn't do what police usually do.
You won't believe it. He just confessed everything.
The whole murder?
Yeah.
I'm Stephen Gray, an investigative reporter. Follow Who Killed Daphne wherever you're listening right now.
I understand Michelle saying, I thought more people would take it to a burlesque like point, or have it come from a burlesque point of view. Uh-huh. My thing is, when you're talking three separate looks, I don't feel like that hits that brief.
Okay.
Because it's all parts of the same look, just stripped down. But I also didn't think that it wasn't reveals. So it's a kind of weird middle ground of like, it hit the brief of reveals.
Yeah.
But it didn't hit the brief of three separate looks.
I hear you. I do hear that. Where if you go off the brief of it needs to be three standalone looks. I mean, when she walked out, I was like, wow, stunning. And I mean, I do like Trinity. But I do think that, you know, taking the big gown aspect off, it is another look, but just taking the flowers off the hips, was that look number two? Are we still in transition? Like, if you get down to like the technicalities, if you want to really dig into the brief, was it fully delivered? Sure, but not as strong as like others, where it was just so definitive and concrete. Like, you saw look after look after look.
My challenge to that, just again from the one standpoint of three separate looks, take the pieces that she took off. Uh-huh. Can you wear that as a separate look?
No. Well, no. Because it was really like we were breaking. It was like a look interrupted, look being deconstructed, where it was, you know, we start out with one like fully beautiful gown, and then the burlesque aspect where we're getting further and further down, but they're not looks. Yeah, no, I hear you. I can appreciate that, and I hear that.
And I'm saying this to not because I give a shit, because I will have my hot takes and my controversial opinions, but it was a beautiful look. When she walked out, she looked stunning. Was she gorgeous? Yes. But did she hit the brief? Not in my opinion. Or at least half of the brief. So kind of a middle ground. And then Jinx fucking knocked it out of the park.
I mean, end of story. Just give her the freaking crown. Like,
seriously.
Nailed it.
The thing that I realized, and I think Bob mentioned it on the pit stop, was that every single look was a different silhouette.
Yes. Yes.
So not only was it different, like a reveal, but she did different silhouettes for each one, and they all worked.
Like going from the Picasso into the Monet, commentary aside from Michelle, that's funny. She's like, is this Monet?
I giggled.
If she came up with that, or the writers did, whoever did, hats off to them. I love a dad joke. But going from the Picasso of like very rigid into this like flowy Monet look, it was different every time. And then the third one, being more the pop style, like a pop art style, Andy Warhol, and it being shorter also than the other ones, where you're like, okay, then something else is going to be shorter after this. And it wasn't. It was like another surprise. Like those were four distinct looks. It was amazing. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, it was phenomenal. On the flip side, any lowlights for you? You kind of touched on a couple of some less successful looks.
Yeah, I mean, Evie's, I really liked the idea of this cocoon being, like, interrupted. And also her makeup and the mask I thought was so cool. I'm trying to think if I was just like a meh, really didn't do it for me. I think Raja could walk out in a potato sack and I'd be like, that's the fiercest thing I've ever seen on anyone. I really liked her look. I do think they all did. I mean, of course they did. They're all great. For me, I love the Vivian, her look, as like me having a theater background, very Into the Woods, which I appreciated. It's the first show I ever did. So I was like, oh, this is the witch from Into the Woods. Easily. If they were going for it or not, this is the witch from Into the Woods. But it was just a big cloak, and you could see the next one. Again, it was like, it wasn't so much of a reveal. I don't know. That one wasn't as exciting for me, I think, at the end of the day. Did she look beautiful? Yes. Was it all gorgeous? Absolutely. But I think it was just the delivery is what I am disappointed in. Oh, maybe disappointed is a strong word, or just like lackluster might even be worse. Now, you understand what I'm saying. It was just like you look great, but this could, okay, next. Like, move on.
Yeah.
What about you? What might have been some lowlights for you besides the Trinity we've touched on?
Yeah, I did not like Evie's. And this is going to be horrible because I don't want to say it, but it felt that way. It felt very crafty, and I feel like Ross Matthews talking to Shea Coulee on All Stars 5, but it didn't feel elevated.
Okay.
And she brings out some great shit, but it just felt like a half of an idea.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the slime, was that a part of it? Mm. Like, was that supposed to be a reveal?
Like, going back to are these three distinct looks even? Like, where are they? Like,
yeah.
Are they definitive? Are they concrete?
And then the third reveal being the mask? Like,
yeah.
She looks stunning. That mask was cool. Like, that's now, I guess, like, that's a new trend alert. Because I know, it wasn't Willow, it was Bosco that had the feather.
Yeah, the feather crown, yeah.
Yeah. So, I know that that's a
new... It's coming for you.
I mean, pretty soon it's just going to take over all of the world. But that did not work for me. She's done some great stuff on the runway, and she's done some, in my opinion, meh stuff on the runway.
Agreed.
Looks stunning, and she's a phenomenal queen and a great person. Like, fucking adore her. Like, I've worked with her a couple of times, and fantastic. The Vivian, for almost exactly the points that you were talking about, the cloak. If you want to see the way that this could have been done, and I think would have been amazing, Alexis Michelle does kind of a, I don't know if it's a Snow White thing, but she comes out and with the face mask or covering that makes her look like the witch, and she's singing and then spins, like, hands off the mic and then spins out of it into, like, a Snow White princess type person.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to see if I can find it. I'll send it to you. I'll see if I can post it on the Flame on social media. But it gave a distinct character as the old hag / witch.
Yeah.
And then she spun out of it into a gown. I think there could have been a way for Viv to do something similar to that.
Yeah.
And made them distinct characters. And then she just took off the bottom part of the gown and had her pants. Like, distinct looks? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I will just say, and I again don't even want to say this, because she looked fucking stunning. I didn't think Shay's really 100% met the brief of three reveals.
That
dressing gown was so sheer that it was just another covering. It was the marabou coat into a sheer coat into, or, you know, sheer dressing gown into the nightie.
Yeah.
With the little peekaboo ass. Although, and Michelle saying, I haven't seen a gown with an ass cut out.
It was like, I think we've seen it several times.
Detox. We saw it this season.
Detox comes to mind this season. Yeah.
Yeah. Detox turning around and having that laced up dress up the back.
Yeah.
Trinity even having a peekaboo ass in her red ball look this season. Yeah. Like,
she made. Also, Trinity was helping other girls make their looks. As maybe this she is the same way into the challenge itself. But Trinity made Monet's fucking look for the challenge.
Yeah, that was sickening.
I mean, to your point, I agree on the three definitive looks, but she did look very stunning. And the last thing I'll say on that before we move into the challenges probably is with the Vivian, when she was like, the fabric was stolen from a production of Wicked, was not Wicked for me. It was very Frozen. It was very Elsa at the end of it. I was like, this is Elsa and Frozen with the platinum, like, white blonde hair, and it was blue and green, but the cape, the flowing cape, was very Elsa to me. I'm like, this is not screaming Wicked by any means. I might be colorblind, but that's not all green.
I didn't see Elsa in that, but, or not Elsa, I'm sorry, I didn't see Elphaba in that, but
yeah,
I don't know, I wasn't there when it was stolen, apparently. But yes, let's segue into, so that's the runway, let's segue into these viral dance challenges. highlights for you, who stood out in this challenge?
Jinx. I loved Jinx's. I don't do the tic-tacs. The ones that I do see have like kind of filtered down into Instagram or something like that. The dancing challenges aren't really my thing, but the dance one that stands out the most to me, that was an actual dance, I'd be like, oh, this might be fun, is Shay's, the Shakedown.
Yeah.
It's just super clever. It's what I loved also is the spelling that whoever in production was doing in terms of like step one, the like how they were spelling it out as they're as it's being presented, also almost like the as if closed captions, was so delightful, especially on shows. It was like, that brought me a lot of joy. So hers is a standout for me. Jinx's is a standout for all other reasons. It's not a dance by any means. Also, it made me really want a peanut butter sandwich. I was like, am I hungry? That sounds pretty good. But it was just, it was so funny. Those are my two standouts for sure. And Monet had a good dance. Trinity's, I thought, was delightful also with the tucking tape. It was funny. It was absolutely her. Raja's, I think, was very Raja. Because she even said so herself. She's like, I don't do these dances. Do I know what they are? Yeah, she's like, no, I'm not going to do this. So her take on being like that sort of guardian, spirit, guide, this bohemian aspect, I thought was just very her brand. Even the way she introduced it is like, hi, it's Raja. Just here to like check in. And Jada did a fine job. I just find that Jada's always like yelling at the same level. Like from the jump, it's like, hey, I'm here. Like, it's very much stays at that dynamic a lot, but I loved it. I thought she did a great job. They were all so, I was delightfully surprised in this episode and the results that came out of the challenges.
Let's see. So I agree with a lot of what you say in regards to this challenge. I thought Monet took the advice given to her and ran with it.
Absolutely.
And did something that worked really well. Also, now, does she own the color green? ? Is what she put on social media. And I think she does, because she looks fucking great. In that green, which when you have Michelle Visage commenting on it in a not negative way, that's always a good thing, because you know how much she loves the color green.
Yeah, exactly.
I fucking lost it during Jinx's, like, that skit.
I mean, it was so good.
When she was like, and if my son wants a snack, he could go get a fucking job.
Yeah, it was really just like the cut to like her being a frustrated mom, single mom. Like, this is hilarious. It was so so well done and so stupid, and I just loved it.
Yeah, I agree. I will say this. I actually loved Raja's.
Yeah.
I really, really, really enjoyed it. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I am in my 40s now, and Raja's towards the end of her 40s at this point. And I mean, she's going to put out that she... We're, I think, seven years apart in age.
Wow.
Because she graduated in 92, I graduated in 99. So we're roughly 7 years apart. But that's not really our scene. Like, viral TikTok dances are not. I only downloaded the TikTok app within the last like year, maybe even less than that, maybe like 6 to 8 months. And it's mostly to watch like dog videos and random homosexuals like talking about shit on another platform. Like, I don't see half the shit on Twitter or Instagram. But to take it from a place, especially, so they filmed this last year. So we're like in the midst of the panorama going on. And to have that kind of like nurturing, soothing, healing, like, I'm just checking in on you.
Yeah.
Like, it was a different vibe that I absolutely, it just resonated. It, the crystals just hummed at a frequency that absolutely aligned my chakras all in one go. And I, the fact that each letter just got more and more ridiculous, like, as she was spelling out her name, was phenomenal. That was a standout for me.
Yeah.
And overall, I think they were all pretty good. Let's flip to maybe some things that could have been improved. Do you have any areas of improvement for some of the queens?
The one that I'd say was probably my least favorite would have been, and this is like splitting hairs, like least favorite, like would probably be the Vivians. Mm-hmm. I loved that it's the Vivio, her delivery on everything was hilarious, and then spitting it out into like Vivio Eats or Vivio Sex or, you know, all of these things. I was like, this is fun. Her messing up the YMCA or the Macy, excuse me, where she goes one way, so it's correct for her, but from a camera perspective, it's backwards. So the backup dancers are going how the viewer can see it correctly, and she's going the other way, and then acknowledges it also in the video. I like laughed at, because it's just, again, so stupid. But her dance is not one that I would even remotely attempt to do a roly poly. No, absolutely, like a little somersault into another thing. No, I'm absolutely not. I'd need to see a chiropractor more so than I already do. Yeah. That was probably the one that wasn't as strong for me. I was delightfully surprised in Evie's. I thought it was fun and very much her brand, where it's like, hey, you know, it's the weirdo kid who's not like everything. It was very much that that resonated with me in phases of my life. Trying to go through the whole Rolodex really quick in my mind. But yeah, I'd say that the Vivians would probably be my least favorite overall. And even that, it's splitting hairs, because there was still like so many little nuggets of gold that I could still find in it.
I want to know, why did she get a second video segment after her dance, like her dance video? like why? She get that? Why was she the only one that got that?
Yeah, maybe it was just like the timing thing. Like they said, you have X amount of time, and she got it done real quick and was like, boop, boop, boop. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah, she was a lesser standout for me, partially because of that roly-poly. So I'm going to slightly sound like I'm contradicting myself from what I said as we were talking about the challenge at the beginning of all of this. I was less in love with Evie's because it felt like it was a portion of her brand, but like her no bones thing, like where was there more? I wanted more bendy. I wanted a little more. I like that she's taken the expansion of like the queerdos and like that aspect of it, because I love the fact that she is trying to be a beacon of hope. I don't even want to say of light, but of hope for kids that feel like they're outcasts.
Yeah.
Because we've all felt that at some point in time, and to have somebody out there that's really kind of being that beacon is amazing. The jokes, I like the video. I don't necessarily know if I like the dance.
Yeah.
My other critique of most of these queens, except for a few, and that would be like Shay, which I love Shay's, and I love the Alan Ailey reference, because growing up, I would see like advertisements for the Alvin Ailey School of Dance, so it was something something that just like I was like, oh, I'm a little older, and it hits a different spot for me. Certain queens like Shay, and I think Jinx, and I'm trying to remember, not all of them did, but not all of them didn't. When you're outlining a dance that's supposed to be a social media, a TikTok dance, and you're going to give me the steps, then give me just the steps for the dance.
Yeah.
If that means that there are six steps, then give me those six steps. One of the things that I, on the flip side of loving Monet's, Monet, along with a couple of the queens, gave you like four moves, but then improvised a whole bunch of other shit.
Correct. They like walked in. It was like boom, cat, cat, boom, cat, cat. And then there was the money down, the money across, and then the throwing.
And then there's like all this extra like dancing. Yeah. I'm like,
where did this choreography come from? Because that's not what you were teaching me in your segment. I agree. That is something that stood out to me too. I was like, where did this come from? And it was like walking in, walking out. Teach me what I need to know.
Exactly. Because that's the whole point of a viral dance, is that everybody's doing the same thing.
Yep.
Whatever the scenario is might be different, or where they do it might be different. But you're giving me like it's this, done.
Yep.
It didn't always work that way. And you know, queens like Monet and Viv and Evie, they incorporated extra to it, which is fine. They looked great doing it, but it felt like it fell outside of the parameters of what you've taught me. Yeah. And if I don't know those extra parts, like, or you can say freestyle, like, you know, go crazy and then come back to like step five, cha-cha, whatever. Like, that was what I realized watching, and I was like, these aren't this, like, there's more steps that are not being shown here, and I need to see those steps to make this work. But overall it was a great challenge. I thought it was a great challenge. It was an interesting and unique and different challenge for the franchise, and I like that.
Yeah.
So we get through the video presentations. We've gotten through the runway. We come back from judges' deliberation, and RuPaul says that the winners, the top two of this week, are Monet Exchange and Jinx Monsoon. And they both won legendary stars, bringing Jinx now up to a tie with Jada at 3 stars, and giving Monet her 2nd star.
Yep.
Do you agree with the top two?
Jinx for sure. I think my other, when I first watched it, like my first instinct was thinking that Trinity was going to be the other top winner. But after our discussion now, I think my initial instincts were different. Shay was up there too. I guess now looking back and after us kind of like talking about stuff, yeah, I do think that it is absolutely a Monet and Jinx, clearly a Jinx. That was a hands down. That was like a, okay, yep. But yeah, I do now agree with it. Yes.
And yes, and as you were, as I cut you off when I was saying, poor Shay sitting on 1 Star Island by herself.
I know. Well, this is the first thing when I was like, when Monet was announced, I'm like, because I'm just a very big fan of Shay. I'm always going to root for a hometown hero. Am I from Chicago? No. Do I live here now? Yes. It's like, I just have you hold pride for places you choose to live. And you know, being able to see them out and about and like meet them through mutual friends and be able to like sit and chat for just a little bit and just really enjoy their they're just presence in, you know, company. I very much am rooting for them still. I wish we would have given the legendary star for the compliment. I wanted to keep throwing them out.
That would have been phenomenal. But yes. Well, there is still time. There's still two more episodes.
Still time, absolutely. There absolutely is.
So we go to our lip sync, which for the first time in Drag Race history is not a musical number.
Correct.
It is a spoken word to the famous, the queerly famous "The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia" monologue that Julia Sugarbaker says to Marjorie from Designing Women.
Yep.
What did you think about this history breaking moment and doing a spoken word lip sync?
I loved it because when I do go see a drag show, I do love when they get into like a spoken word, like transition. Like a big one that comes to mind is if you have ever seen Bob the Drag Queen do Crazy. If not, like just go to YouTube and look it up. They're in a bar doing it. And it is so fun to see them like go from a song, lip syncing a song and, you know, dragging it up to then dragging up this already iconic and memorable pop culture reference. I think Jinx, I would have just cast in that type of role anyway. She fit the character so much. And then Monet really took it to a more of a drag place with some of her gestures and energy. And even though her physicality might not have matched what you thought the audio was, that for me, there were some references that she just did. Like there was when she started talking about flames and she gestures towards her face, it made me think of Madeline Kahn in Clue the movie. Being like flames on the side of my face, like, and then I just started laughing, and I'm like, this has layers to it. I think Jinx also killed it. It was, you know, splitting hairs. It could have gone either way. But yeah, I thought it was a cool, fun idea. I thought they both did a great job. They both knew the words. There wasn't a turn and face up stage for a pop song. It wasn't a take, you know, I'd like to keep it on, please moment. They knew all the words. And it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. And that is definitely something that's been called out. I forget who called it out on the pit stop when they were talking to Bob about, I think it was episode one.
Oh, I think they were also talking about Monet. Because like she would turn and face up stage and Bob would be like, oh, she does this. And I forgot who it was. I think it was Katya was the guest. And she's like, well, she probably doesn't know the words.
Yeah, it's just like, you're right. And yeah, that's what it is. And when you're doing a spoken word, you have to, like, you have to, one, be on point.
Yeah.
Spoken word, there's no cues, there's no music, there is no beat or tempo to it to keep you on track.
Correct.
It's super, super difficult. And if you watch TikTok videos and you watch people doing the lip sync things on there, you will see how difficult it is to do because 9 out of 10 times people are off when they do their lip syncs on TikTok videos.
Or throwback even to Katya and their like musical airline challenge where she was coming out and had to start it all and was just didn't nail it and landed at the bottom with them. Might have been when she went home. I'm not sure. I think it was season 7.
No. Glamazonian Airways, it was when Sasha Bell went home.
Oh, gotcha. But it definitely landed her in the bottom.
Yeah.
It's hard. It is hard. Even Shangela All-Stars 3, like having the Mariah Carey piece, it's not sung. It's just all about timing. You just have to know the words. It's great when it's great, and it's so easily flopped.
Absolutely. Well, Monet is declared the winner of the lip sync And I agree with you. She did drag it up more.
Yeah.
And I could definitely tell that she was going to take this. So it is her first lip sync win, her second challenge win, her first lip sync win. She gets her $10,000 cash prize and the power to block one of her sisters. And does a fun little walk down the row and ends up blocking Raja. So what? Raja gets her wish. And now has been blocked and learns the secrets of the plunger.
Yeah.
And we will see the shakedown of her getting to know the secret of the plunger on the next episode, which is a roast challenge.
Yes.
A roast-esque challenge.
And the clips that they had coming out of it just in the previews, I was like, "This, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be very funny."
I am a bit more skeptical of roasts in a COVID world because we don't have an audience.
Sure.
And I forget, I don't know if it was Luke or if it was somebody else that I was talking to about this. There is a little something that's missing when there isn't an audience.
Correct. Yeah, it's very difficult.
There's a little emptiness in the challenges because you don't have the laughter, you don't have the audience that they're playing off of. You're just playing off of the four judges, and it's very empty, very hollow. But these queens are we were talking about the draguation speeches.
Yeah,
that's what it was, because there was a lot of jokes in there, and you're playing to essentially an empty room.
Yeah,
it's like doing comedy on Zoom. You know what I mean? Pretty much everybody's on mute, and that's what you got.
Yep.
Except for that one person who isn't on mute and they're laughing, and that's RuPaul. But yeah, I'm excited for this next challenge. And I actually remembered what it was. Normally I'm like, oh God, what's the next challenge going to be? But yes, we have another comedy challenge. I'm super excited for it. But before we sign off and we finish up our conversation about Drag Race, TC, who are your top two who will be standing atop Mount Rucropolis, lip-syncing for the crown and the title of Queen of All Queens, in your opinion?
Jinx Monsoon.
Okay.
And I'm gonna stand my guns and keep going with my hometown hero, Shea Coulee. They were my two going into it, and I'm standing behind it. But those are my two. If you look at it from a numbers game, who knows? But Jinx is definitely the front runner, in my opinion. But I'm hoping that Mario Party rules are going to be engaged, and we're going to have stars stolen. We're going to have other stars awarded, and Shay's going to be there in the top four with everyone.
Very nice. I'm going to go back to my Jinx and Monet. I went with a little Raja last week, but I want to see my two. Like, those are my homegirls.
Yeah.
And I want to see them in the top. I want to see them in the top four, and I want to see them battling it out. It's so tough because I would be happy with either of them winning. I really want to see Jinx win.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really want to see Monet win. Like, I will be heartbroken if those are the two at the end. Like, if those were the two that were there, it would be like Sophie's Choice. I wouldn't know who I would want to win, and I don't know who I would be okay with losing, because I love both of them as people and as queens, and they're awesome, and we'll see how it all shakes out come a couple of weeks from now. So
we shall see. Stay tuned.
It'll be interesting. Exactly. Well, dear listeners, I want you to cheer at your podcast listening apparatus device and join me in thanking TC for joining this recap episode. TC, thank you for hanging out, talking trash about the queens. We didn't really talk trash, but giving your opinion and your hot takes on this episode. If you would like, you can let our listeners know where they can follow you on the socials.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I'm on Instagram, at least. It's just my name, TC Fair, if that is something that somebody is into. I'm not terribly active or promoter in that sense, but no, thanks for inviting me to just sit and, you know, shoot the shit. I do this, you know, all the time. I have 2 cents. I'm happy to share them.
I love it. Is there time for one more?
I love that we're also on camera too, because it's like, is this my camera?
Is this my camera?
Of course we have time for one more, Pat.
Since we're at the midway point, it's time for a song. Don't be jealous of my boogie. Yes. Well, TC, thank you again. Dear listeners, we will be back next week with another recap. We've just celebrated our 300th episode of Flame On that is in the feed right before this with our pop culture roundup. Thank you for being with us for 300 episodes. For those who've been around for the duration, those of you who are new joining us, we thank you for joining us on the ride in progress. And with this being episode 301, we look forward to more and more episodes coming your way. So check us out. We're out every 2 weeks. These recaps are weekly until All-Star Season 7 is done. And then we're back to our regular 2 episodes a month schedule. But check us out online, flameonshow.com, where you can find all of our socials, our Twitch, our YouTube channel. You can find our Threadless shop, where you can buy your own Flame On merch. And you can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/flameonshow. Join at any one of the 4 levels that we have available, and you could potentially be our newest house member that co-hosts our pop culture roundup. So until next time, dear listeners, bye, bitch.
From Wondery comes a story about what happens when the murder of a local journalist reveals dark secrets.
There's going to be an attempt not just to kill Daphne, but also to bury her stories and her memory.
It's as big a smoking gun as you'll ever get.
The police didn't take action. They didn't do what police usually do.
You won't believe it. He just confessed everything.
The whole murder?
Yeah.
I'm Stephen Gray, an investigative reporter. Follow Who Killed Daphne wherever you're listening right now.